Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood. That's John Paul Basham.
Yo.
We're excited to be with you on another episode. A little bit different this week. So let me just set up how this week is going to run. Normally, we release one episode per week.
One really good episode per week.
This week, we're releasing five average episodes. We're going to try a new approach. No, we're going to release five just as good episodes for you, the student ministry leader, this week. So this is a great time to do this. We're coming up on the end of May, beginning of June, brand new season. And it's we've said this on the podcast before, but it hasn't stopped. Like one of the most common questions that we get when we go places and train and when we go places and talk about student ministry with either one church or groups of churches, we always get asked about volunteer leaders and how to build an effective and healthy volunteer leadership organization. That's one of the most common questions on the Student Pastor Network. We spend a good bit of time diving deeply into what that looks like on the network through the video training that exists there. But it is one of the most common questions that we get from coast to coast as we work with student ministries all over the country. And it's something that you guys tweet in and ask us about too. So what we're going to do is this week, we're going to spend all 5 days talking about volunteer leadership and how to build an effective and healthy volunteer leadership organization. Because the reality, John Paul, as you know, and as we've talked about before on the podcast, is that student ministry doesn't happen at a high level without volunteers.
That's right.
So let's spend 5 days in this crucial season, the ending of the spring semester, jumping into the summer. More than likely, you guys are thinking about recruiting. If you're not thinking about recruiting for the fall yet, you're too late. But the good news is there's time for you to start. So listen to this week every day. We've got about a 10 to 15 minute podcast for you every day. You know, I like how I gave ourselves a cushion there.
A little buffer.
Yeah.
We've got a 10 minute timer sitting on the table here.
So with that, we are going to dive right in. And as a reminder, I said it in the opener, we spend a lot of time talking about strategy and developing volunteers and how you can do that on the Student Pastor Network. So I want to encourage you during this week, head to the Student Pastor Network website. We have a free preview there where you can check out what some of the video training looks like, as well as a breakdown of everything you get when you join the Student Pastor Network. So it is a tremendous tool made for you as a leader of student ministry to continue your development, to continue your training throughout the year on the very practical things that you may not learn in school, but that are essential for ministry and doing it effectively. So head over to studentpastornetwork.com/preview and you can see samples of the training that you get.
So I think one of the questions when you're talking about how to recruit volunteers, whether or not to recruit volunteers, I think one of the places you've got to start, if this is something that you're wrestling with and you haven't made a regular rhythm of already, is just how much can you do by yourself?
Yeah.
Like, what is the threshold of effective ministry for you? How many students can you reach? How much programming can you plan on your own? How much administration can you do by yourself? I think it's important for you to gain a clear perspective of what actually is your capacity, just you by yourself. And that's going to change from person to person.
Right.
But I think in general, there's a pretty low ceiling on that.
Yeah, especially when you consider all of those things in tandem. Like if you narrow down, like how many students can I effectively minister to on my own and didn't include the normal pastoral duties, like if you have to do hospital visits or you have to do things like that, the Sunday morning tasks that you have, the programming, the administration, the organization, the event planning. Like if you just isolated one, you're going to be able to do that one pretty well for a large number of people. Same thing is true administratively. Like if you say, I'm going to be the best administrator of ministry ever, then you could accomplish a lot of administration on your own. But when you add in all the other things, that's when the ceiling really lowers and you have to rely on other people. Even if you're on a student ministry team where there's a lot of staff,
yeah,
you still can't do it all.
Well, then here's a piece of insight into the way that we filter some of the things we do at Lifeway. One of our measures at Lifeway is the number of churches we serve. The most important one there is, and the depth to which we serve them. And I think this is a good question for you to ask. There are a lot of people in ministry that are saying, man, I wonder how many people I could serve. In other words, how many people could I gather in a crowd and preach a midweek service to, or have around, in circles of chairs talking about Scripture?
Yeah.
But a better question for you to ask is, how deeply are you serving those people? And when you begin to think about how deeply you're serving your students, this is when the ceiling really begins to lower.
Yeah, that's good. I like that approach to it and asking the how deeply are you serving them question, because that's going to apply not only to the students that you desire to disciple and see grow in their relationship with Christ and see come to Christ, but it's also going to apply later in the week as we talk about the volunteers that you do have. Because chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, you have some volunteer organization already. There are probably very few that listen that would say, I have no volunteers right now. There are some because we've heard from them. And their question is, how do I get these volunteers? But more than likely, you have volunteers already. And the depth question is huge there, because if those volunteers aren't trained and aren't developed and aren't equipped to do their role, then it's going to be a very frustrating experience for them. And that's when you're going to notice the cycle of people in and out, in and out, in and out all the time.
Yep.
So we have just the necessity of serving, of leading an effective ministry, serving with a volunteer team, and serving the ministry deeply, serving the students deeply, serving the volunteers deeply, and even serving the church as a whole. Serving your pastor to a deep level involves more than just you. All right. The other thing that we can say about the role of volunteers in the ministry is that if you are not enrolling and equipping people, if you're not developing and deploying people, then you're not doing ministry biblically. So if you are out here trying to do student ministry all by yourself, you're not doing it biblically. So a text that kind of defines the role of minister, Ephesians 4, 11 says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. So the role of minister is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. It's not to do all the ministry yourself. It's to equip them. And what this passage tells us is that something awesome happens when we as ministers really do lean into equipping the saints to do ministry. And that's the body of Christ is built up. We gain knowledge of God's Son. We grow into a maturity that's measured by Christ's fullness. All of those things begin to happen to a greater degree when, amazingly enough, we follow the scriptural pattern of what a minister is called to do. And I think some people, when we enter into student ministry, we think, man, student ministry is going to be about me discipling teenagers and me pouring my life into a group of teenagers, and that's what ministry is going to be all about. And while certainly for the student ministry leader, Ephesians 4 includes equipping students to do the work of the ministry, but I think in our fervor, in our zeal to see students come to know Jesus and to follow him to a great degree, we leave out the very thing that's going to allow our ministries to see more students discipled, and that's multiplying ourselves through leaders.
Yeah. So recruiting and growing up disciple makers is, you know, when you're looking at, oh man, I need more volunteers. You don't just need more bodies. You don't just need more people to fill slots.
Yeah.
What you need is to have a view like that of Christ that said, I'm gonna gather a group of men and I'm going to make them fishers of men. I'm going to make them leaders, and I'm going to charge them with carrying my church forward, is what Jesus did in his work.
Yeah.
And so that work has filtered down to you, and it's your responsibility to carry on your shoulders that call of Christ to go and find others that you can train to be fishers of men, disciplers of men and women.
Yeah, that's so right.
It's not all about programs. It's not all about having somebody at the bounce house.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good introductory role for someone who's learning to be a fisher.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you're looking to create a framework for discipleship.
Yeah.
And I think that's the heartbeat of what we'll be talking about for the next week.
Yeah. And that, and taking that finding fellow disciple makers type of approach really has huge implications on the types of people that you recruit. When we look for volunteer leaders, it may quickly slide to what you were saying about, hey, like, I've got to have a volunteer to sit in this seat so that these students don't run crazy, or so that they have someone to come to, or so that there's a leader there. But if you look and take the approach that you mentioned of developing, finding and developing fellow disciple makers, that has huge implications on how you view the recruiting and training process for your volunteer leaders, which we are going to get into in the rest of this week's episode. So come back tomorrow, hang out with us as we talk about the three ingredients for your volunteer organization. Remember to head over to the Student Pastor Network website. Check out the free preview that we've got going right now. studentpastornetwork.com/preview. Find out all that you need to know about what it means to be a member of the premier training and development tool for student pastors. We'll see you next time.